A lot of people, when I ask them, how are you taxed? They'll tell me they're taxed as an LLC. And in reality, an LLC is an entity. It is not a taxation structure. If your answer to that question is, I'm an LLC, it's actually not a valid answer because it's not a tax structure. And so there's some education around that. And again, it opens up the opportunities for more deductions in the strategy part.
You are listening to Kelly Word, a top CPA who helps entrepreneurs protect their money they earn. In this episode, we break down the things you need to look at when it comes to your financials, how to optimize your tax deductions, the difference between a bookkeeper, a tax preparer, and a tax strategist. And this episode is for anyone who wants to learn how to keep more of the money they earn and how to have the right people on your team, especially when you're growing your business. So the question is, how do entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts scale to create a massive business, all while having fun and impacting lives? Welcome to the Raquel Show. I'm your host, Raquel Quinette, business coach, real estate entrepreneur, investor, wife, and sports mom. This podcast will give you real quick tips, strategies, tools, and inspire you to help you play bigger in business and in life. Are you ready? Let's grow to the next level. Welcome to the Raquel Show. This show is for entrepreneurs who want to play bigger in business and in life. And today, as many of you guys know, I love bringing people who love to play bigger. And today I have a very special guest who I actually met at a mastermind. She's one resource that you will need in your business if you don't have one, or you may need to look at a different person after listening to her. She's a CPA for realtors. She understands tax strategies. And when you earn money, you want to find a way to keep it. So I'm excited for you all to learn. Welcome to the show, Kelly Word.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to finally have this conversation because I know our audience is going to benefit from this one. So I want to dive right into it. You are a CPA. You love numbers and you love helping realtors with their books and tax strategies. Why realtors or why small business owners?
So that's actually a great question. I'll start with the small business owners, and it's because I was raised by two small business owners. Both of my parents had their own businesses. And so, you know, all growing up, watched them work all the time. And it's like, you just kind of get what you get as far as parental attendance and things like that. And then as I grew and got into the industry, I realized that that's very common. That's what everybody in small business, you're trying to get through the day to the next big thing. And unfortunately, that also means that a lot of times we're not looking at the big picture or putting money away for savings or retirement. And so there's a lot of opportunities there. And then with realtors and real estate specifically, I love working with individuals that have relatively high income levels, relatively fewer expenses in general, which means they have a lot more cash flow to take advantage of tax strategies and keep more of their money. Just taking that small business and specifically relating it to the realtors.
I love that. And earlier we were talking like, what is the difference between a tax preparer, maybe even a bookkeeper? Because I think some of our people in our audience have, like, oh, I think I have a bookkeeper. I think I have a CPA. I think I have a tax preparer or a tax strategist. I'd love for you to like share with the audience what the difference is so that they're aware within their own business.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll kind of start, you know, as far as like in general, most bookkeepers, they either have a formal education in bookkeeping and things like that, or they may have just had a lot of experience. Traditionally, bookkeepers may not be degree professionals. That does not mean that they're not great at what they do. It just means that they probably don't have as more of a formal route and or higher education. A lot of times bookkeepers also are not the ones that are going to prepare tax returns. They're more just getting the data entry in, things like that. When it comes to tax preparation, even though we traditionally think of CPAs or accountants doing that, realistically, you don't have to have any education to file a tax return. And that's why a lot of people will file their own tax return, because you don't actually have to have any credentials to do so. But when it comes to small business, things like that, you, of course, want a tax professional. And so CPAs, those are the most sought after. Enrolled agents are also highly in demand because they're also advocates for tax and stuff like that. But a lot of times what we're seeing nowadays is because less and less people go into the accounting industry. Apparently, people don't like numbers. I don't understand. But less and less people going into the industry were really loaded up on clients, maxed out. And so for most people, if they're just handling the clients that they've been working with, they're not able to really focus on forward thinking and strategy. They're really just thinking, looking backwards at what happened last year. Let's get this tax return done. Whereas a tax strategist, they can prepare tax returns, and a lot of times they will do both. They'll prepare the tax return, but you're also constantly having those conversations about what's to come, how we can minimize or mitigate tax, and the strategies around that. So it's definitely a lot of times, and for a lot of professionals, it's two different people or maybe three different people to get you there. However, there are CPAs like myself that focus in both so that you can have one relationship and kind of have one person to share all those exciting conversations with about money.
I love that. And a lot of us have a lot of fear sometimes. It's like going to the dentist when we're
Right.
talking to our CPA. So
Yeah,
I remember
yeah.
when I first started my business, I had no clue that you actually had to separate things. And so what advice would you give, Ben?
Right, absolutely. So what I would say as far as advice is you really need to have the process and the conversation up front before it's too late. Unfortunately, a lot of times, even just a year after you've started your business, it's a little too late to take advantage of some of the opportunities. And so it's like a lot of times we may think you're getting the cart before the horse, but realistically, you have to think about where you're going. In 3 years, do I want to be making $100,000 or do I want to be making $600,000 or $1 million? And focus on that business and get the structure set up for that from the beginning. The IRS is very behind all of the time, unfortunately. And so doing things after the fact and retroactively is not an easy process just because you're having to deal with kind of someone else's timeline.
Yeah, for sure. So if somebody was just starting to fix their books, what key things should you say at least bare minimum they should have in their when it comes to running their businesses or their finances? Should they be looking at a P&L every single month? Should they even
Right.
do it on their own? Because there's all these different ones out there.
Right. Yeah. So that's a great question. If I were going to outsource one thing and one thing only, it would be payroll. But right behind payroll is going to be the actual record keeping. And that's a whole conversation, of course, in itself, if you have to do payroll for yourself. But when it comes to the record keeping, especially for realtors, you're so busy, you're always on the go. The last thing you need to do is run your family, run your business, and then try to learn bookkeeping just to keep up to date on your records. And what I see a lot of times is if you don't have anything set in place, then you're missing out on so many expenses because I don't know about y'all, but I don't remember what I paid for last week and trying to remember what I spent X amount of dollars 9 months ago when I'm doing a tax return. It's like pulling teeth trying to remember those things. And so having a program, yes, there are lots of online programs that are great. But we try to teach ourselves. And unfortunately, sometimes that's also not necessarily going to get us the end results that are really going to be helpful. Ideally, you would outsource bookkeeping, you would outsource payroll. But I also tell people you don't need to recreate the wheel. If you're one of those that's really good in Excel and you have a formal tracking process, that's fine. You don't have to have anything big and elaborate. We just, as like tax preparers and tax strategists, what we really want more than anything is just a formalized way to look at your income and expenses so we can help in the future.
Yeah, I love that. So, what do you think the most common tax deduction or credits that realtors often overlook?
So, what I would say one of the most common is really anything related to your auto. Y'all are basically living in your cars, you're always going to showings, things like that. And so, the scary thing is, oh, you have to have a mileage log. And then if you don't have a mileage log, people are like, oh, I'll do it next year. I'll track it next year. But mileage for 2024, the mileage rate is 68.5 cents a mile. For every mile you're driving, that's 69 cents of a deduction, basically. If you're not tracking mileage, that's a huge area that you could lose out on, especially if you're in a community where you're driving 20 miles across town just one way in places like that. Another one that I see a lot of times is just the expenses that, like apps, as an example, that you have on your phone. You've got it automatically set up, it goes to the Apple Store, and it's probably connected to your personal bank account instead of your business bank account. So I say once a year, January would be ideal. Look back at your prior year, what hit the Apple Store and what came out of your bank account. Which of those apps or business apps that we should move to our business tax return?
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah, little
Okay,
things like
well
that.
then, speaking of apps, what's the best app or tool? Because I'm so guilty of not tracking mileage. It's just it's cumbersome.
Yeah, exactly, right? So Mile IQ is great for mileage tracking. If you have QuickBooks Online, which a lot of people that have bookkeeping have QuickBooks Online, there's actually a built-in mileage tracker for that. So I would use that if you've got QuickBooks Online. Otherwise, Mile IQ is great. If you have another type of bookkeeping program or app, a lot of times they also will have a mileage tracker. And it's very simple. For those in the dating world, I tell people you're usually just swiping right for business or left for personal. You're used to the swiping, right? It's just now we're doing it for business. So it's a little different.
I love it. I love it. Any other apps or tools that like you could recommend since we're on talking about apps?
Yeah. So the other thing in regards to apps is, and this is again for record keeping, but keeping something like a Dropbox or the apps that you could put the copies of your receipts. No one wants to carry around receipts. We know good, and as soon as you get that receipt into your purse, if you're anything like me, it gets crumpled up with your peppermints and candy and everything else. If you can take a picture of your receipt right when you've spent the money, now it's digitized and you can put that into an app like Dropbox for the storage. And then that receipt, throw it in the trash, leave it on the table, whatever. And you've got that out of sight, but now you have that permanent record. So some kind of a app that's around that, essentially record keeping of your receipts as well. And again, QuickBooks Online, things like that will do it as well.
I love it. So what do you think as far as like when we're looking at our finances, what are some financial metrics that realtors should monitor to like assess that their business is healthy or the health of their real estate business, right? Because we have lots of high, low months.
Absolutely. And that's definitely like the high-low months. That's definitely a strong thing to process and to think about. Because what I hate seeing is people at the end of the year, when maybe it is, especially in colder locations, it's kind of a harder time to get sales and to get closings. At the end of the year in January is when we have a lot of expenses going out. It's business license renewal, our entity renewals for the state, it's payroll taxes. What I really try to have people do is anything that you can move towards a quarterly process or even in the summer months or the months when you are more active and you've got more cash flow to take advantage of those things that you could or that you could pay quarterly on. But otherwise, when you're looking at your financials, you need to be realistic about how other factors, outside of factors, play in, like interest rates. For 2023, a lot of realtors are going to have less income years because the market or because the inventory. So things like that. So things that are out of your control. And yeah, you can dig deeper and stuff like that, but sometimes it's just you've only got so many things you can work with. And in those times, making sure that the kind of the expenses that you're paying out are reasonable for the income that you're bringing in. So things like a lead generation, if you're paying for lead generations on a website or something like that, that you're really getting the benefit for that cost that you're paying out. Those things I think are really important, especially if it's something new, like tracking. Make sure you're tracking. This is how much I'm spending on it. This is how many leads that I got. This is how many leads that I closed. So like that in a lot of industries, but I think for real estate, it's also very important is how much traffic you're driving to yourself from those kind of expenses. The other thing is for realtors specifically, your whole world is networking and the future of your business. And so a lot of times you only have a 10, 20 active clients at that time that you're working with. And so networking is one of those that you always got to be on. And there's so many opportunities for deductions around that. If you go to chamber meetings, if you go to your local Rotary, any networking groups, things like that, making sure that you're tracking those expenses. And again, is the chamber bringing you the business that you want? Is that cost worth it for that benefit that you're getting? So I think those things are really important. Same thing for sponsorships. And a lot of us, it's just we live in small communities and but your name is out there and people come to you for sponsorships for everything and the kids and all of those things. And we all want to give back and support our community, but really also taking that business perspective on it, is it benefiting you and what that looks like?
I love that. Now, on the flip side, where do you see, and I'm sure you see all kinds of things when it comes to tax preparing and looking at people's books, where do you see most agents or small business owners make mistakes when it comes to their financials and their taxes?
Right. The biggest mistake is not having anything. Unfortunately, that's still very common. And like I said, anything is better than nothing. But we do get, I get a lot of clients at the end of the year. I would say it's quote unquote the bag of receipts. It may not literally be a bag of receipts, but it's emailing a Google Drive that's just a bunch of receipts, but there's no formal process of tracking anything. And so then you're just opening up receipts at the end of the year. Now, while that works, you're paying someone to take the time to get all those expenses. And you're also, again, just you're not having any strategy behind getting your taxes done. So definitely not having any bookkeeping is a big mistake. And the second thing, and we hit on that earlier, is the entity, getting your business structure set up correctly from the beginning. And of course, there are different states that have different requirements, but usually for active realtors that are making consistently more than like $40,000 to $50,000 after their annual expenses, they don't need to be taxed as a sole proprietorship. There's better, more tax advantageous structures for them. And so if you're a high earner realtor and you're still being taxed as a sole proprietorship, it's very likely that you're paying too much in tax or you're missing out on opportunities that are out there. Even the audit risk alone, just in staying on a sole prop, it's 1,500% less if you're an S corporation with that same situation. So things like that are, it's just kind of those basic foundations, really.
And now, does your firm help with that as well, where you have the wrong entity? I think we need to go in this route.
We do. We help with that. And it's like I said, every state's a little bit different, but at the end of the day, the process is very similar. And attorneys can help with that. And a lot of times that's who individuals go to for entity setup. And that's great. And that's who usually does set up an entity. The only thing about an attorney is they're looking at it from the legal side and not looking at it from the tax side. So you want to have that second opinion or that second approach, what's best for taxes. Yes, an LLC is where you need to be, but do you need to also make that S corp election? And I'll just build off that a tad. A lot of people, when I ask them, how are you taxed? They'll tell me they're taxed as an LLC. And in reality, an LLC is an entity. It is not a taxation structure. If your answer to that question is, I'm an LLC, that's actually not a valid answer because it's not a tax structure. And so there's some education around that. And again, it opens up the opportunities for more deductions in the strategy part.
Yeah, and so well said. I think a lot of people that are even listening to this right now or watching this on YouTube, they're like, I probably would have answered the same exact way, because we're not taught. When we open up, when we get a real estate license or when we open up a business, we don't have a requirement to say, hey, this is how you should do your books. This is how you should do your financials, or this is how you actually may want to consider how you should have your entity.
Exactly. And I've seen a lot of realtors that'll come in. I usually will see two different cases for those newer clients. One, they made a lot of money that first year. So it's the first year and they owed a whole lot of tax and didn't know what to do with it. And so then you get behind and it's you follow that path and trying to catch up and paying that debt that's a couple of years old. Or second, they get so overwhelmed by all of the things that they don't file a tax return and then you get a couple of years behind. And so what I would say to that is you are not alone. It is overwhelming. It is stressful, but there are people that can help. Because I want to bring the reality of that to point is you're not alone. This is not like your situation is very truly not going to be the only one that we've had in that having around that outstanding debt or not filing taxes. And so we just need to get you on the right path.
Like we all say, it's scary. It's like scary going to the dentist and it's scary talking to your CPA and going like, here, I say it's always never clean. It's always some type of message. You're not alone in the journey.
Exactly. And that's one of the things I personally love about clients specifically is I build my clients based off relationships. So relationship building is very important to me. If I only see you once a year for a tax return, that's not an ideal situation because I can't help you throughout the year. Or if you're worried I'm going to charge you $28.32 for asking me a question during the year, that's also, in my opinion, not an ideal situation. Because I want to educate you in running your business and so that you feel comfortable asking questions and we're learning about your business and growing your business together so that you really can project to where you really want and hit those goals. If you're constantly battling with someone that's supposed to be on your team, you're never going to get there because you're fighting against yourself.
So would you recommend a cadence of looking at your financials monthly, quarterly, yearly, like at bare minimum?
Right.
How to do this?
A bare minimum quarterly. And again, because like you mentioned earlier, the true reality is there is a lot of seasonality for realtors nationwide and stuff like that. Ideally, you're looking at it monthly and even weekly, depending on how much activity you have going through there. Maybe you've got a small team under you. So it's your commissions, but it's also a team's commissions that you're tracking. And I would take that one step further for the brokers or the brokerages as a whole. That does need to be definitely more of a daily looking at those things. But it's one thing to look at it. You also should compare, like you mentioned earlier, comparing it to how were the percentages last year or how was it last quarter? Comparing it to see where maybe you're falling short or where you can tighten up expenses. And then also taking it one step further, looking at the next quarter. What do we expect? Is this going to be a high renewal year? Are for those states that have the MLS, is that it? Are we going to have higher fees or is there going to be anything in regards to that or annual fees? Is it an education year? That's another thing, right? That pops up is, oh, it's the end of the year. We need to get our education hours in. We need to get our CE hours in. How are we going to do that? What's that going to look like? So just like tracking that as far as like budgeting, but also looking at how it's tying into the financials.
Yeah, I love that. What's one lesson that you wish you would have learned sooner that you can give our audience?
To ask for help is not a show of weakness. It's a show of strength and identifying the fact that you're not maybe the best person for that particular job.
So good. Where can people connect with you, Kelly?
Yeah. So I'm on Facebook and Instagram very actively. It's at Kelly Ward CPA. And you can also reach me. I own the firm Robinson and Ward. And my email is kelly@rwcpak.com. And we would love to help in any way we can.
Yay. And we will put that in the show notes. And there's always one question that I ask every single guest that comes on the show is, what does Kelly do to play bigger in business or in life?
What does Kelly do? I invest in real estate. I myself have 7 properties and over 16 doors. And so I'm continually pushing myself to grow professionally and personally through things that are not necessarily in my everyday world. And so pushing those boundaries, whether it's new types of properties, going from a duplex to a fourplex or a different state. And I'm a really big reader. So
I love that. I love that. Well, Kelly, I want to say thank you for being on our show today. I appreciate you. I know there are so many people that are going to probably re-listen to this. And I know you also have classes, so I can't wait. Our community, when your class will be for our Play Bigger community. So make sure you guys look out for that. I appreciate you. And I can't wait to keep supporting you in playing bigger, my friend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode and hanging out with me today. If you're loving The Raquel Show and you've gotten value from it for your business or your life, please don't forget to hit the follow button so you never miss an episode. I'd love to connect with you further, so text me at www.textraquel.com and send me a message. You'll be added to our VIP list for updates and special events we're hosting for our community. I look forward to hanging out with you on the next episode.